today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now you've got to understand what that means. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. It didn't say the Son of Man, him, has, I am over the Sabbath. He didn't say that. He said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Keller, in his commentary, says, you know what that means, and he's right. Jesus is saying to them, I am the Sabbath. I am Lord of the Sabbath. Now, of course, they would have really hated him saying this, but the point of it is, that's exactly what he was.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Well, so far in Mark, Jesus has already forgiven sin. And when he did that, they said he's blaspheming. No one can forgive sin but God. And then Jesus goes on to make a claim that's so outrageous that the leaders don't even have a word for it. Because what Jesus is saying here in the Gospels is this. Jesus says, I did not come to reform your religion. I came to replace it with myself. And boy, they hated him for that. He has already shown his power over demons, temptation, Satan, disease, and his power to forgive sin. He seems to be claiming that he is able to overpower all the effects of sinful lives in a fallen world. But today he's going to take on the greatest sacred cloud of his world. This is where Jesus is going to get himself in all kinds of trouble. And instead of going to Mark first, I want you to go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, because this is the first incident in Jesus' ministry where he deals with this subject. John 5, and verse 1. John writes, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Two things. If it's a feast of the Jews, there are three feasts you have to go to Jerusalem for: Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost. This is likely Pentecost. The other thing is, when you read in the Bible that says you go up to Jerusalem, it doesn't mean on a map, it doesn't mean it's north. It means it's high. So no matter where you are in Israel, you go up to Jerusalem. And it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. It has five porticos. And in these lay a multitude of those who are sick, blind, lame, and withered. This is a very difficult spot. And what's interesting about it, after that, there are brackets in your Bible. And that means that there's not, a lot of the oldest manuscripts do not have this section in it. It was probably added by a scribe to try to give you an idea of what was going on there. But notice what it says. Waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool. He stirred up the water. And whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease he received, was afflicted. Could you imagine something worse than this? I was just thinking of the blind people. I mean, you just know what human nature is. Hey, I think an angel stirred the water. Throw me in. He can't see it. This is terrible superstition. of the Jewish people. And notice then what happens. A man was there who's been ill for 38 years. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? 38 years and likely never walked. He's an invalid. I want you to understand something about what Jesus does. What do you think your body would be like if you never walked for 38 years? How atrophied would all your muscles be? I mean, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But watch what happens. So Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew he had already been there a long time in that condition. And he said, do you wish to get well? Very honest question, but I would imagine the fellow thought, I've been here 38 years. What do you think? You know. Notice the sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming up, another steps in before me. Now watch what happens. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Not a thing, nothing else. He didn't touch him, nothing. Just get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Wow. Immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet, and began to walk. Notice that, like all Jesus' miracles, there's no rehab. You're going to go through rehab now, and maybe this is instant. He now walks perfectly normal. Now, everybody who was there, both the invalids and others, would have realized what? This is amazing. 38 years, he's laying on a pallet, begging every day. And now he's walking. He just got up and walked. Now we know why. It says, now it was the Sabbath on that day. Jesus picked that day. That's the day he wants to do this on. And he does it with this one man. How many people were you think were at Bethesda? Hundreds, probably. One man. I'm just going to deal with one man here. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it's the Sabbath, you're not permitted to carry your pallet. And that's what you would say to someone who went 38 years, right? You never saw them walk, you go, I'm walking. You can't do this. Isn't that amazing? They ignore what happened completely. Now notice as it goes on though, he says, after they said that, he said to them, he who made me well was the one who said, pick up your pallet and walk. He said, that guy just made me, I'm picking up my pallet and walking. He said this. Now notice, they said, who's the man who said that, pick up your pallet and walk? But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while a great crowd in that place. By the way, someone will say, you only can experience a miracle if you have a lot of faith. If you have a lot of faith. He didn't even know who Jesus is at all. Interesting. Now, Jesus does this. Now, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore. Nothing worse happens to you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Why did he do that? He's afraid. He's afraid of the religious leaders. He's afraid of them. They'll get you. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, Jesus leaves Jerusalem and heads back through Galilee to Capernaum, and that's where we pick it up in Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. He's got his enemies now. Of all the things he said he could do, and they all bothered him, they were most bothered by one thing. You can't violate the Sabbath. You just can't. That we won't accept that no matter what. So, it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now, I'm pretty sure this didn't happen. He and his four disciples are heading back. They're hungry, long walk, and they're walking through a grain field. And his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. And if you read in the Old Testament, you're certainly allowed to do that in Israel at that time. You're allowed to, that if you're hungry and you walk through a grain field, you can't store it for yourself or make a bushel out of it. But if you're hungry, you can take the heads of grain off and eat them. And that's what his disciples did. Now, this is interesting. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath?" Wow. Why? But there's something here. Do you ever think of the Pharisees walking through grain fields? The city folks. They're following Jesus, especially on the Sabbath. Let's watch them on a Sabbath. Let's see if we can get them on a Sabbath. Wow. So they're walking with him. That's such an interesting thing. Jesus said to them, boy, this is an insult. Have you never read? Oh, boy. Pharisees, that's all they've ever done. Some Pharisees have the reputation they had memorized the entire Old Testament. Just imagine how much that would be. Jesus said, have you never read? Wow, that bothered him. That's an insult. What David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry, and he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone except the priest, and he also gave it to those who were with him. There's the incident. David is running from Saul for his life. David is the new anointed by God king of Israel. Saul wants him dead. So he and his men are running. Now they come to the spot, and they're coming up to the temple of God, the tabernacle of God. And when they come there, they're really hungry. And so his guys go in, and it says there they ate this consecrated bread. What in the world does that mean? In the holy place, you have the sacrifices on the outside, the holy place, and then the holy of holies, where the high priest only goes once a year. In the holy place, they had a table. They called it the table of showbread, but that table's there. And every Sabbath, Levites would come, and they would bring 12 loaves of bread and put them on that table. They would take the old bread, and they'd eat it for themselves. David's men came, and they ate the old bread. That's what they did on that Sabbath. Now, what's interesting about that is, wow, and notice Jesus is very clear. Only Levites can eat that. That's what the scripture says. So what's the point that Jesus is trying to make here? That even then, the high priest understood that necessity always overrules ritual. Always. David, after all, was the anointed king of Israel. You see, and David's men were really hungry, and he said, that's fine. You can do that. Now, the Pharisees don't like this at all. They get caught with, wait, there was an exception. There can't be exceptions in our view. You see, from their point of view, there are no exceptions to anything like this at all. So Jesus then says two things to them, just astounds them. The first thing he said is this, the Sabbath, he says, the Sabbath was made for man. That's not what they believe at all. They don't believe a word of that. Man was made to obey the Sabbath. Now, please understand, if you go in the Old Testament and you want to see all the things you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath, guess what you'll find? You're not to work. That's all. In fact, in the early days of Israel, the Sabbath was a wonderful blessing to the people. People loved this. They loved being with their family. They loved the Sabbath. It's an amazing thing. What's interesting about that, though, once they went into the Babylonian captivity for those 70 years when they got out, That's when the birth of Phariseeism began, and they started saying, God doesn't say enough about the Sabbath, so we're going to say a lot more. And boy, did they say a lot more. One of the things I read this week was the Talmud wrote 24 chapters just on the Sabbath. One rabbi said, I spent 2.5 years of my life studying one chapter. That's what we're talking about. That was all of the stuff that you could or could not do. And so I'm going to painstakingly give you a sense of what the Sabbath means to a Pharisee at this time. A tailor can't carry his needle. A scribe can't carry his pen. A pupil cannot carry books. No clothing could be examined, lest somehow you would find lice on it and inadvertently kill it. Wool could not be dyed. Nothing could be sold. Nothing could be bought. Nothing can be washed. A letter could not be sent, even if you sent via a heathen. No fire could be lit. Cold water could be poured on warm, but warm water could not be poured on cold water. An egg could not be boiled, even if you took it out and just dropped it in the sand and the sand cooked it. You can't do that. You could not bathe for fear that the water would fall off you and wash the floor. If a candle was lit, you can't put it out. If it wasn't lit, you cannot light it. Chairs could not be moved because their legs could make a rut, and that's work. Women could not look in a mirror, or they might find a white hair and be tempted to pull it out. Women could wear jewelry, could not wear jewelry because jewelry weighs more than a dried fig. No human being could pick up anything on their Sabbath that weighs more than a dried out fig. So you can try that for yourself if you have a fig tree, how much you could carry. Says a radish could not be left in salt because it would become pickled, and that's work. They had laws about wine, honey, milk, spitting, writing, getting dirt off your clothes. You could only use enough ink for two letters, but they couldn't say a word. They could just be two words, letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's all you're allowed to write on the Sabbath. These are forbidden things. No sowing, plowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, sifting, grinding, kneading, baking, washing wool, beating wool, dyeing wool, spinning wool, putting on a weaver's beam, making threads, weaving threads, separating threads. You're not allowed to make a knot or untie a knot. And if you sew, you can only use two stitches. And that's probably one-tenth of what they say. That's what the Sabbath is to them. Now you know what Jesus is doing here. So the first thing he said, look, man is not made for Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man. Secondly, this is much more profound. He says this, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now you got to understand what that means. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. It didn't say the Son of Man, him, has, I am over the Sabbath. He didn't say that. He said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Keller, in his commentary, says, you know what that means, and he's right. Jesus is saying to them, I am the Sabbath. Do you understand? I am the Sabbath. I am Lord of the Sabbath. Now, of course, they would have really hated him saying this, but the point of it is, that's exactly what he was. You see, think about this, first of all. How did the Sabbath get going? It says God created everything in 6 days, right? And then the seventh day, he rested because he was exhausted, right? He was so tired. It's like, oh, gosh, this is not at all. Not in any sense. He was no more tired after 6 days than he would have been after the first 6 seconds. He's God. Why did he rest then? And by the way, who is that God that did that? Well, according to Colossians, by Jesus, by him all things were created, all things have been created through him and for him. The Son of God is the creator of everything. Everything. You see? And who runs the den? From that part of the analogy, the Son of God. He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Now, why did he rest? Because it was finished. Creation was finished. That's why he rested. This is such an important thing to understand. Because remember when Jesus was baptized, I said, there's something unusual going here. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, who I love. And the Spirit comes down like a dove on him. So I said, there's the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all at his baptism. And the only other time you see it in that way is at creation. You have the Father and the Son at creation, and then it says the Holy Spirit came and hovered or moved upon the waters. At the beginning of creation, they're all there. At the beginning of redemption through Christ, they're all there. And it's all known that way. So I want you to think this through then. God rested, not because he was tired, but because it was finished. So what did Jesus say when he was done suffering on the cross? It is finished. It's finished. What's finished? Redemption is finished. Completely finished. You see, that's such an important part. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, if someone were to ask me, do you honor the Sabbath? I'd say, yeah, I do. Oh, okay, how do you? No, what day? I said, well, every day. I rest in Christ every day. It's a total rest. All the work was done by Jesus. He's finished. You see, that's the whole idea of a Sabbath rest. That's what applies to all of us all the time from that point of view. Now, first of all, let me say something else, though. From the Pharisees' point of view, no human being would have ever said what he said. There's not a person in the history of Israel, and certainly no contemporary, that would ever say these statements. He says them over and over and over and over and over again. He doesn't stop saying them. You see, that's the whole idea. Even there, Jesus had several, John talks about this in his Gospels. Seven times in John's Gospel, Jesus says, I am. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. And I don't believe he said that in Aramaic or Greek. I believe when he said, I am, he always said that in Hebrew. Yahweh. I am Yahweh. That's exactly what God told Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? You tell them, Yahweh, I am that I am sent you. That's Jesus' statement. Over and over, Jesus is making this statement. I am God. That's why he calls himself the Son of Man out of Daniel in these Gospels. I am the one Daniel prophesied about. And so he says, that's the way this is going to work.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, That is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.